Blog Talk Radio.
Scott Golden here with the Power of Perception Radio Network. Welcome, welcome to those of you who are new. Welcome back to those of you who are seasoned veterans of what we do around here. Been a while since we've been here. I've been super, super busy with coaching clients and other things, but we're back. We hope to be back a little bit more regularly during the fall season. Danette Wheeling will be with us momentarily, a piano studies student, composer, musician, and all sorts of other really cool things. We're going to talk to her about the power of perception as it relates to music and the joy of the creation of music, perhaps even its healing properties and some other things, but we will merge that call now. Danette, are you with us?
Hello. Yes, I am. And I want to thank you for having me on and thank you for finding me. And I'm happy to be here.
You are welcome. And we always like to expand horizons with a variety of guests. I'm really quite interested in the journey so much of the love of music, how it's evolved for you over the years, and some of the things that you've been able to impart as wisdom to others, and also maybe even perhaps, I know you had some chronic illness challenges, and the effect of music and sound on the healing process might be something we could cover, but to give our listeners just a little bit of your background so they know what we're going to talk about over the next hour or so.
Sure. Well, I started as a very serious classical musician when I was as a teenager, and I played with a orchestra, and I did have a solo recital when I was 14, and then I went on to go to college. I was a piano performance major, and I was interested in a lot of other things besides classical music. I got involved in jazz and contemporary and improvisation. And then when I graduated college, I had a career as a performer. I performed in New York City. I was a pianist. I was a singer. I fronted rock bands. I wrote my own songs. And then I was always teaching at this time. I started teaching private piano students when I was 15. I always had tremendous joy doing that. Never felt it was a job. And then I had my children when I was in my 30s, and then I had a transformation, and the transformation was when I became chronically sick with Lyme disease. I was diagnosed, I was bitten in 1996, I was diagnosed in 1998, and I had all these issues. I went into therapy with a Lyme-literate medical doctor. I had a couple of them. But it wasn't until my son was diagnosed with Lyme disease that I found this alternative way of healing, and that was allergy immune. And this is this revolutionary, holistic way of healing, which healed my son. He basically was on this therapy for a year and a half. I was on it for 3 years. And then I was lucky enough to find Dr. Michael Gurevich, who is a holistic doctor, who helped me to uncover past emotional trauma that I had in my subconscious mind, and actually kind of was the cause of my sickness, was the actual root cause before I even got sick. That introduced me to thought awareness and to healing the mind, which I incorporate in my teaching and even in my compositions and in my life in general.
I think a lot of people miss the power of sound and isometric toning and all of that in the healing world. I'm sure that you have since studied the art of just how sound can aid with healing at a cellular level and all of that. Did you find comfort in music during your sickness, either as a
Hello?
To down your ability.
Yeah, you're
to.
Just I'm cutting out for some reason. You're cutting out. Yes, I absolutely. As a matter of fact, that's when I started to seriously compose when I was sick, because I found that. I mean, before that, I was basically doing songwriting, and I stopped for when I had kids. But when I got sick, I realized that my mind, my brain was in this fog, and I needed to focus. So when I started composing, it really helped to keep me in present thought. And that means that I wasn't thinking in the past, I wasn't thinking in the future, I was thinking presently, and that was a very peaceful state of mind to be in.
Okay, and so do you think that dwelling on the past can exacerbate symptoms of physical illness from your experience?
Without a doubt. Absolutely. Matter of fact, most of us are not aware of our thoughts, and most of us, our thoughts do go to the past, and they conflicts. I mean, a lot of times we think of things in the past that could be a conflict or it could be some type of a trauma, and we can't let it go. We're stuck. We're stuck with this thought. It just keeps on just looping around our mind. And once you become aware of this, I found for me, because I had the sickness on top of that, so I found that I needed help to remove this thought, so to speak. I had to get unstuck. Because it's when you have a thought in your mind, you actually believe the thought. You believe it to be true. And let's take a thought like the thought that I'm not good enough. That's huge. I'm not good enough. I actually felt that when I was playing piano. And I had problems when I was younger because I had the tremendous feeling of not being good enough. So that was a thought that I was working on to replacing it. You actually can remove it and replace it with thoughts of forgiveness to yourself for actually thinking that thought, and just putting in another thought that you are love, and all is forgiven, and everything is peaceful, and everything is well. And so that is tremendously healing when you can release these past thoughts that are basically causing you self-loathing, and they can also be destructive.
All right. And so when you were first dealing with all of the, I guess one would say, energetic or esoteric viewpoints, what did it take for you to kind of shift from the physical into the mental and subconscious effect on the body? In other words, being open to it. How did that take place for you?
That's a really good question. I always knew when I was first diagnosed, and the traditional Western way of dealing with it, if you have an infection, is giving antibiotics. And I always knew that the antibiotics were not, I was functioning on antibiotics, but I really wasn't healed. And I just knew that it was whatever I had was deeper. It was deeper than a physical level. So I actually was going to a holistic chiropractor, and she introduced me to that there are deeper things other than, just microbes and pathogens. So then I continued my work with Dr. Gurevich, and he was the one that found emotional blocks in me and was able to release it. As a result, I found that my healing was flowing. I could feel a flow going through my body. And I connected the dots. I said, wow, when I'm releasing this trauma, these thoughts that are destructive to me, I'm feeling better. And that is how I connected it.
Is that a multifaceted release? Like, does one have to release consciously and then go into almost like a hypnotic state to release unconsciously or subconsciously? Is that a multi-layered process?
Yes, it is, because it's involved, like there's one process called APN, which is applied psychoneurobiology. And what that is you're basically lying down. You might be wearing glasses that are, they may be purple or yellow or blue, whatever the doctor tests you for that your emotional state is in. And the whole idea is to relive the trauma or the conflict, and you relive it. And as you're talking about it, he may be putting his finger in front of your vision and doing a figure eight, and you are tapping. So it's, yes, it's multifaceted, no question about it. And then as the thought is now in your conscious mind, then you can replace a thought with thoughts of forgiveness and of all is well and love and harmony and most of all, thankfulness that, you know, you're at this point and that you have the ability to do this. So, and it's really, this is becoming more and more accepted, especially in alternative therapies. There are many people and there are many ways to do this.
So let's back up just a bit. I think most people have heard of Lyme disease, but they may not know how it affects the body. They may not know the severity of the effect. So for folks who are undereducated about Lyme disease, what is it and can people...
You just cut out a little bit. Lyme disease is a bacterial disease. Now, if you take a look and say, okay, Lyme disease, it can be a spirochete, and it can change forms, and it can be very tricky to treat, but if you get it right away, you just treat it with a course of antibiotics and you'll be fine. I mean, that is one way of looking at it. But that didn't happen for me. I became late-stage Lyme disease almost immediately after I was bitten. And the antibiotic I was prescribed was not the right antibiotic, so it wasn't strong enough to take care of the bacteria. So what I believed what happened is when I was bitten, it just completely depressed my immune system, and it allowed for other type of pathogens to enter, and I literally became a welcoming mat for all kinds of bacteria, viruses, even parasites, just like all kinds of stuff that my immune system could not defend me against. And my main symptom was chronic fatigue. I had dizziness that would come and go, brain fog, which is a neurological issue where you have memory loss and you have problems concentrating, depression, and believe me, that comes with all kinds of chronic illness. Achy arms and legs. I was not the fibromyalgia kind of Lyme disease where they have a lot of pain. I just had a lot of achiness. I had a lot of digestive issues. Meniere's disease, which is when your inner ear fills up with fluid, so you can't hear, and that was in one ear. I had hypothyroidism. Chronic infections, you see how this is just going and going? Chemical sensitivities, food environmental allergies. I mean, this is what happened. So I crashed. So obviously an antibiotic wasn't going to take care of this. And when people have chronic illness, many do seek alternative treatment because it's just not one thing. It's many things.
All right. And so I assume there is the emotional overwhelm of all of that. What advice can you give to folks who are frustrated with the lack of progress they're seeing through Western medicine as it relates to kind of opening themselves up to alternative treatment methodologies?
Oh, another good question. When you have a sickness with an unknown cause. And that's basically, yes, it is Lyme, but I had so much more than Lyme. I would have to say, be your own advocate. I think that would be the most important thing. You need to be your own advocate. You need to say, I need to find the cause for this, okay, because that's what I did. I needed to find the cause. I almost made a vow to myself, and the vow was, I'm going to find how to get well. And that's what I did. And there are many ways of doing this. I just talked to a wonderful lady yesterday, and she found another way of healing herself from Lyme disease. And it was alternative. So it's very difficult to heal for the Western modality. I mean, this is, again, my opinion. There are people that have healed through antibiotics because maybe they don't have what I had, and they do have mainly Lyme disease, and they were able to control it, and they were able to heal. So everyone has to find their own path that they believe in. They need to find a doctor that believes that they can heal. Western medicine, in the definition of chronic illness, there's no healing in that definition. It says that you can control the symptoms by being treated, you know, whatever it is, whether it's medicine or whatever other treatments, but there is the word heal is not in the Western definition of chronic illness. So I think going to a doctor that believes you can heal is very important, but the most important thing is that you need to believe you can heal. You need to be your own advocate and never give up. Hello? Hello, I'm back.